Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Getting the right chapter here. Okay. Starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting in the fear of the Lord. And for the title of our message today is The Importance of the Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer. The Importance of the Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer. And as always I do in my intro, I thank God, our Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in Pastor Eric's absence, who was on vacation. I think I emailed him the other day. They're heading back today. Had a good restful time, and really believe it, he needed that time to just rest and refresh from all the rigors of ministry. Just want to thank all our support staff, Miss Lisa, Curtis and the praise team, Doug, the ushers, all our sound booth, all the leadership, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's always good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. Also, though Kyle's not here, want to thank him for filling in last week, him and his wife, Caitlin. We thank God for them as well, too. I know it's been probably, thinking about a year since the last time I shared with you. And Pastor Eric, when he decided on his vacation, and he said, "Are you available?" I was like, "Yes, I'm available." And so it's interesting. Once you say you're available, the Spirit of God starts to talk. He starts to get your attention and starts beckoning in your ear and starts saying things to you. And I was like, okay, this is interesting, obviously. And it's interesting because, like, when you do your outline like that, it's like sometimes you get so many interesting thoughts and things come back to your mind. And Pastor Vince, I remember the first time you let me speak here about 10 plus years ago. And I remember when he announced that. And of course, you know, the jitters and all the things that come sometimes like that when you're going to speak. But I remember when I left that day and I was driving home, the Spirit of God just went to talking to me. He's like, "This is what I want said." Oh, he'll talk to you. Primarily, he talks and speaks to us through his word, but every now and then he wants to have a little one-on-one time with us. He wants to talk to you and say, "Hey, yo, listen, I got some stuff I want to say to you, one-on-one, me and you, let's talk, because I got some stuff to say." And that's good. That's good when God the Holy Spirit does that, because you know for sure, like when you get the still small voice speaking to you and saying things like that. It's like, okay, we're going to be on the right track today. We're going to be on the right track today, because we know when the Spirit of God talks to us and speaks to us that way. And like I said, he does speak to us that way through his word, and primarily he does speak to us that way. But like I said, it's just so refreshing like that, and sometimes it's a little convicting too, because he wants to get us on the right track. And so what is interesting about this message is the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Is I'm still a big fan of Christian radio. I still listen to Bible teaching quite a bit. Amen. Quite a bit. I mean, that's sort of my daily bread right there. And listen to some very good teachers who teach and share about the things of God. And what was interesting, three different teachers, guess what they were teaching on? You got it? And I'm like, okay. And this was even before Pastor Eric asked me to speak. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, this is going to be a joyful ride here, Lord. Because it is. Because, like, I mean, I'd been listening to these series of messages from, I will mention some of the ones that I used, actually used some of their material because it was just so good that I listened to. But this is probably maybe 6 or more weeks before Pastor Eric even mentioned about the fact that he was going to go on vacation. So the Spirit of God's working even when we don't realize he's working. When we just think sometimes we're just sort of going along in the background, the Spirit of God is just like working things to the Father's glory and to our good. He wants to edify us and guide our lives in such a way and just have us doing those things that he would have us to do. Because it was interesting. I called my sister, my older sister, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to be speaking this Sunday. Could you pray for me?" She said, "What are you going to be speaking on?" I said, "The importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer." She's like, "Okay." She said, "Let me just share something with you." She said, "Monday night we have a call-in prayer group. And we just, you know, some kind of way they make a connection like that. And they pray Monday nights." As they have all nights, Monday nights. But there's always prayer time. Should be all the time. And it shouldn't matter about the day. But she said, "Let me just share what God shared with me in regard to the Holy Spirit." She said, "During the prayer time, the Lord gave me this vision of a volcano erupting. And as the lava started to flow down the side of the mountain, it turned into gold. And God says, you are not using my Spirit nowhere near as much as you need to be using it." I was like, "Okay, I definitely think we're on the right page." Definitely, my brothers and sisters. So, but what we're going to do this morning in our message, I'm just going to share where I'm at in my spiritual journey, and I pray you'll get some spiritual food for thought out of it as well. Because oddly enough, that is where I'm at in my spiritual walk right now. I am just like taking, oh goodness, it's like Holy Spirit. It was interesting, our Sunday school lesson this morning was on Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. And of course, 1 and 2 say, "The Spirit of the Lord is up on me." And if you look in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 16, Christ directly quotes that right from Isaiah 61. But it was talking about what? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, being up on him, anointing him. And in those verses, you see Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all together in one mix, right there before our eyes. You think about the day when John the Baptist was baptized. The Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him. And the Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Descending upon Jesus. And so this is what our message is about this morning. It's about the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. So I would start off this morning by asking you a question. Where are you at in your spiritual journey? Not looking for a response, but want you to ponder it. Where are you at in your spiritual journey? Amen. Where are you? Just think about this for a second. The highs, the lows, the mountains and the valleys, the stress, the peace, your relationship with God, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you doing in your spiritual journey, my brothers and sisters? How are you doing? Are you just soaring like the eagle and just gliding on the winds? Or maybe you're crashing and burning. Where are you at in your spiritual journey? Because for me, it's been some interesting things that have happened. But God is faithful. He is so faithful. Because as I was doing part of my outline, I thought about this. It was about a week ago, Mady and I and Henson's, we went to Roanoke to the Sandy Patty farewell concert. How many of you know Sandy Patty? A great gift of God. And she used it for God's glory all over the years to sing for his glory. But during one part of the service, and she just did a great job and had her family there and everything, but one part of the service she shared how she went through a nasty divorce. Nasty, she said. And so, this one morning, she said, "I went to church. And she said she sat up in the balcony on the back row and she just cried. Didn't want to be recognized, didn't want nobody to see her. So the pastor got up and said, as he recognized the visitors, and if you're a visitor with us this morning, we do welcome and thank you for coming to Tridestone. But this is what the pastor said. We welcome you. We don't want to put you on the spot or want you to raise your hand or anything like that or recognize you or anything. You may want to sit on the back row in the balcony and just cry. Wow. Busted by God. Wow. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. Where are you going to hide from him? Oh, God, I mean, it's just like, but God is so good because she shared that. And it's just like, whew. And it's like, I'm thinking about preparing my message. I'll have to use that because, I mean, it is. But in regard to God and his spirit, he so wants to help us in all our lives. And it is so beautiful how he wants us to just know and realize that his spirit is there to help us in every area of our lives. Amen. So part of my journey is in about October of 2014. And as some of you know, some of the challenges that we went through in our family with our one son, and still some challenges yet to go. But in regard to that, it was one day the Spirit of God just spoke to me out of the blue. And I was like, oh my goodness. And granted, through all that trial and everything, there were some days, I'll be honest with you, I was just numb physically. To be honest with you, just numb. Just sort of spiritually null and void. Because sometimes some of those trials come at that level toward us. They do. They will. If you haven't, stay tuned, because they may come your way. Amen. Stay tuned, because it may come your way. But in those, I'm talking about some major challenges. So by God's help and grace and the prayer of the saints, we were sustained in the midst of adversity and trial like I never experienced. I was stretched beyond my capacity, but not his. Amen. You will get stretched sometimes. But during that stretching process, there's growth occurring too. There is some growth that is going on in us spiritually in such a way that just watch God work in your life and see what he wants to do. And even after one episode of it, had to go through another episode of it. Yes. Had to go through another episode of it as well. And so, yet and still, as I said before, through the prayers of the saints and God's Holy Spirit, we were sustained yet again. But one day I was sitting on the bed. And I just looked up to heaven and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And it was like something lifted off of me. See, when we're at the end of our ropes, it's the beginning of his provision. Amen. Amen. When we're at our very end, at our end. Notice I said when we're at the end of our rope, it's the beginning of his provision. Because a lot of times we want to work things and do things in the flesh and thinking we're going to get some kind of good results out of it, and all you get is a mess. Amen. Anyhow, a mess is what you get. You haven't acknowledged God and say, Lord, help me in this thing. I need your help. And that's where I'm at in my spiritual journey. It's like a lot of times now I'm praying, Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. And that's a good person to call on. That's a good person to call upon. The paraclete, the helper. He wants to help us in every area of our life. There's not nothing you go through, nowhere you'll go, that he don't want to help. Amen. Goodness, you know why Moses had to stay in the desert for 40 years? Like 30 plus years in the faith. It's like, Lord, I'm starting to really learn some stuff now. It's like total reliance total dependence upon Him. Amen. Well, what the Spirit was talking about in my life was about the anxiety that was I was allowing to just really burden me down. Just really getting anxious over all that was going on. And this is what the Holy Spirit said one day. Stop it. He said, stop it. You know, sometimes when the Heavenly Holy Spirit speaks like that, you may sort of think like, what's He talking about? But I knew exactly what He was talking about. And so I paused for a minute and got still before Him. It's like, okay, Lord. You know, it talks about in Ephesians or Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. I've been camping out there. Been camping out on that verse. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And what happens when you do that? The peace of God, the shalom, the peace of God that passes all understanding keeps our heart and mind. We are forfeiting the benefit because we're anxious and worried about what's going to happen. Am I by myself? Am I up here by myself? Oh, my God. Goodness. I apologize for that, but we tried to adjust it, but it still does it some. But as I said, He just said, very lovingly but very firmly, stop it. You're sinning. Amen. Because when we don't believe what the Word of God says about a certain thing in our life like that, in essence, do I go there and say that? In essence, we may be even calling God a lie and says, your Word don't work. Your Word's not truth. In essence, that's what we're saying. Because we're not believing what He has said in His Word. And it's impossible for God to lie. And so therefore, why aren't we embracing the promise and saying, God, You says to be not to be anxious, but yet and still, Lord, I'm bouncing off the wall, jumping to conclusions, and I'm not in faith. Whew. And we're forfeiting the benefit. And then we're wondering, how did I get here? God didn't take us there. Amen. God didn't take us there. The Holy Spirit is like saying, I want to help you. Why don't you let me help you? And we're trying to handle it ourselves. My God, you will run out of strength trying to do it in the flesh. Quick. You will run out of strength fast. And there's not enough pain relievers to help you get beyond the headaches that that will cause. But, oh my goodness, I thought about when I was doing some of the outline here about some past other times the Lord spoke to me in regard to some things. I thought about, I just recalled how, I think I've shared this before, but maybe not, but in regard to when we purchased a dog. And but the Spirit of God spoke to me that time as well, too, because what it was, our son wanted a dog, and of course, Matey bankrolled it, and I was dead set against it. I don't want no dang dog. Because I know who's going to be taking care of the dog. So the agreement was, he said, I'll let you have the dog for a week, and within that week, if you decide you don't want it, bring it back, and I'll give you money back. So got toward that week, and of course, I was campaigning, let's pack the dog up and take her back. Out the door you go. The Spirit of God spoke and said, you're so selfish. You're talking about cutting like a knife. I wouldn't think He'd be speaking nothing about like in regard to something like that. But I was busted again. Because it cut me like a knife. Because I was like, oh, I don't want anything to do with this. And you think of Hebrews 4 and 12 says, the Spirit of God is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Holy Spirit reads us just like a book. You know, just like I'm looking at you all now, the Holy Spirit sees way beyond that. See, we're looking at externals. You know, I don't look so bad today, do I? Inside. Uh-oh. You remember like when God sent Samuel to Jesse's house? Was it Eliab come out? Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And God says, try again. You're looking on the outside. I'm seeing way beyond externals. And we're real concerned about externals in society today. How do I look? How do I talk? How do I walk? And the Spirit of God is saying, hey, yo, I have a different approach. I'm looking at your heart. That's where it really matters. From the inside out, the Spirit of God inside of us wants to transform us more to the image of Christ, where when people see us, letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, glorify the Father in heaven, that's what we need to be exhibiting as believers. Amen? Yes, amen. That's, you know, I'm just not just preaching to y'all. That's applicable to me first, because I've had to go through this two or three times. And it really convicts you, because the Spirit of God so wants us to be hooked up with Him in such a way, because it was just like the music this morning as well as the Sunday school. Several of it was just talking about the Spirit of God. I was like, Lord, obviously this is what you want said this morning. This is what you want said this morning. So we ended up keeping Lucy, the friendly Rottweiler, the loving dog. And God taught me a lot of spiritual life lessons through that animal. One of the major ones was to love appropriately. Think about 1 Corinthians 13. Though I may speak with the tongues of men, of angels, you know, have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all these things, and though I give my body to be burned and all that, yet if I don't have love, God's love. Amen. The Spirit of God shedding that in our hearts, and we allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that out and exhibit it, as I said, to the world, to us as believers, to one another, but also as well to a lost and dying world. Goodness, you see our nation today. What was one of the old secular songs? What the world needs now. But it needs to be agape. Agape love, the love of God. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And my goodness, that's the only thing. Yes, we're having an election, and pray over that, my brothers and sisters. But the church needs to rise us up out of lethargy and laziness and start making their voices heard in the public arena. Amen. That's what's going to turn this thing around. Amen. So God, the Holy Spirit, He is so good. He is patient. And if we will allow Him, He wants to teach us about the things of God. And as I said, that's where I'm at in my spiritual journey. It's not that I haven't learned anything over the past 30 plus years, but it's like there's more to learn about Him. If you exhaust learning about Him, you must be part of the Godhead. But you're not. And as you continue to read and study in this book, and like I said, 30 plus years, I'm not boasting, but 30 plus years I've worn out Bibles reading. But what I found is, like Dr. McGee said, I found out how really a little bit I know about God after all. But what you will find in the Word, you will find Him on the pages. And that's, you know, as the Spirit of God, is He, one of His old favorite saying, as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and shows us Christ. So as I said, that's where I'm at. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me through the trials of with family, through what's going on in our world, through what's going on in the church today. God is looking for His people to rise up. Rise up. Is it 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people We're not talking about the world in regard to that, but those that are born again, as it talks about in John 3, those that are born again, he wants to so help us to learn his ways, to study his word, and find out just how awesome he is. Because I was thinking yesterday, I thought about the old Rich Mullins song, "Our God is an awesome God who reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." Because I know it was, like I said, it's interesting how these things flow when you do an outline. Because I thought about my dear mom. Mom wanted to go the Parkway, and she done got up in age and just really, you know, couldn't drive, you know, any distance that far and stuff. So she kept saying, "I want to go to Parkway, Uncle Parkway." So I just took a day off, and we went to the Parkway one day, went to Hillsville, and come back this way through Floyd on the Parkway, and stopped at Mabry Mill, got coffee, come to some of the overlooks. You see all the beautiful mountain ridges. When we got to the saddle, she looked at me and said, "We serve an awesome God." I didn't lose it then, but when I thought about it the other day, I about cried. Because we do. We serve an awesome God. I mean, he is so awesome. It goes beyond words. Let me move on here. I've got a lot here, and I've got to move on. So, as I said, some of the Bible teachers I listened to, they shared some great things. How many heard of Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church? Oh, goodness. He did a 10-part series on when the Holy Spirit has his way, what can happen. Oh, my goodness. I was like, when the Holy Spirit, you remember back in the day when it said, let him have his way. Let him have his way. And he wants to have his way in our midst. And unfortunately, the Holy Spirit causes a lot of controversy, even among believers. You got believers who embrace it and just sort of go over the board. And then you got some like, don't want any of that Holy Spirit stuff. No. So you've got that. But you think of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Holy Spirit sort of gets lost in the mix. We sort of neglect him sometimes. You know, there's only one God, but in three persons. Blessed Trinity. I think there's a song about that, isn't it? God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. If the Holy Spirit had his way, what could happen in our churches? Oh my goodness. Think about the book of Acts. Woo, when the Holy Spirit come on the scene. Oh my goodness. If the Holy Spirit had his way in our homes, the Holy Spirit has his way in a nation. Whew. Talking about transformation. It's interesting. I listened to Perry Stone, and I know the beginning of the year he prophesied, and I share this, and I share it again. He said that God said he's going to do revival in the rural places. He's doing revival in places like West Virginia, my hometown. In West Virginia, God, the Holy Spirit, is starting in these little rural places, and revival is breaking out in places like Williamson. In my old home county of Logan, West Virginia, revival has broke out. But God said in the rural places he was going to do it. If the Holy Spirit had his way, fully yielded to him, as we look in the book of Acts, they had to start building larger facilities, and the people was like, we can't handle all this. But unfortunately, that's not where we're at today. If the Spirit of God had his way, people were being saved and discipled, and they going out and doing the Great Commission abroad and at home, doing New Testament church by his word and by his power, getting to know him and enjoy him, developing friendship, relationship, and enjoying him, this divine, holy personality that is living in us. He's living in there, people, my brothers and sisters. He's in there. Because when you get born again, what happens? By washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, he comes in and he lives in the believer. You all are walking around with the Holy Spirit in you. Sometimes we lose sight of some of the basic truths of Scripture for some reason. You know, the enemy wants to fill us with forgetfulness of who we are and what we have in God in Christ a lot of times. And a lot of times we're all bound up and can't figure it out. And like, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm still here. Where are you at? All bound up, busted up, busted down, all around, on the ground. And the Holy Spirit is like saying, get up. I am there to help you. I am there to help you. Sometimes the pressures and all these things do make us forget, but we don't need to be forgetting today. He wants to produce purity and holiness in our life. There is no darkness in Him. And this is one thing Brother Luther shared, just a little excerpt from him. It's like, when the Holy Spirit gets to know you, He will want to look at every closet in your heart. Oh, yeah. He will want to look at every area in your life. Ooh, I ain't the only one busted. Every area. He said, he used the word closet, but think about the recesses of our heart, the spirit part of us. The Holy Spirit wants to look at every one of those and says, not like, I see you, I see that. No, it's like, let me help you with that. Bring that under my authority. Let me help you with that. Pleading with us, I want to help you to navigate these troubled waters that you're going through. I want to help you not to be full of anxiety and worry. And what was it, Pastor Eric's series a few weeks back? Fear. You no longer have to be a slave to fear, my brothers and sisters. You have got a divine personality, Holy Spirit of God, living in you, who wants to transform, change, launch you, propel you, make you more like Christ, and we're sort of neglecting Him. My word, amen. He looks in every closet of our life and all areas, and those areas that maybe still trouble you today, He wants to help you with those areas. He wants to, you know, you might have to maybe pray with some of us or get some accountability, or someone is accountability that you love that can help you get through some of these things. But even through the community of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit would join in what our efforts are, and we get God's results. Amen. We get God's results, and that's a good thing. We get God's results. We do. So let's look a little bit further at the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to move along here. How many of you remember this quote? Remember, the force will be with you always. How many of you remember watched Star Wars the other night? I was like, this is interesting. All this is falling into place, Lord. Let me just read you what Chip Ingram, just a few excerpts from a portion that he did in regard to the Holy Spirit. Those of you who may not remember, this popular quote is from the Star Wars movie. Its creator, George Lucas, went on to produce several more of these creative and exciting movies, which also produced the religion of Zen Buddhism for the past 30 years. So I find it interesting that if you ask the average Christian how they think about the Holy Spirit, most of them would say they think of the Holy Spirit much like a force in Star Wars. They believe the Holy Spirit is some sort of natural, invisible, spiritual power or energy, or somehow working in the world as a force, and that does something long ago, but the Holy Spirit is so much more than this. Amen? So, who is the Holy Spirit really? And what is the Holy Spirit's role in the life of the believer? His first point is, the Holy Spirit is not a force or an energy. He's a person. Woo-hoo, newsflash. The Holy Spirit is a person. I maybe thought one time sort of like along those lines, like, the force is with us. He is as much person as you and I are. He is. He's a spiritual being, a divine, holy personality, as I said, living in us, living in us. He is a person. Turn to John chapter 14. verses 16 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. I'm reading from the New King James. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Because it was interesting, because, you know, Brother Ingram, and he brought that point out like that. But I was like, you look in those verses, what do you see? Some personal pronouns. Him, He will be with you, in you, for you. Jesus Christ is talking about the Holy Spirit as a person. He's saying He, Him will be with us, in us. He is a person. Amen. He is a person. He is intelligent, and He has intelligence. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 11, no one knows the mind of the Spirit except the Spirit of God, who searches all things. He has feelings, just like someone who does something that causes us sadness and grief. So we also produce a similar emotional response in the Holy Spirit when we hurt others or reject Him. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed to the day of redemption. You can't grieve a thing. In this context, in regard to the Holy Spirit, He's saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So that means He is a person like you and me. He feels. And sometimes we're grieving Him. We're sinning against Him. When I'm anxious and not believing God can help me in my situation and everything. The Greek word there was lupeo, to distress, to cause, to be sad. The Holy Spirit is a divine being. He has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 11, the Apostle Paul describes the Holy Spirit as someone who wills or determines and distributes the spiritual gifts in the church. Second, the Holy Spirit has the attributes of God. He is all-powerful and all-present, all-knowing. He has the very mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter talks about that. The Spirit reveals the truth claims of God. Third, He is truth. The Holy Spirit is God because He is co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. The word Lord used here in reference, and He said it was like, oh goodness, I wish I'd stop that, but it won't. Yahweh, the Lord is the Spirit. Of course, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. His presence there to help us navigate all the things that we go through. But here, it's the most amazing part of this. The Father and the Son in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. What did I say? One God in three persons. The Blessed Trinity, He is that in our lives. When we're born again, we become members of the family of God. The Spirit immediately takes up residence in us. We become living, walking, breathing temples of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You know, all the types and shadows we see in the Old Testament, all were pointing to the Christ, but now we are that temple. The Holy Spirit is living in us now, and He wants to guide and direct our lives in such a way that we will be following Him. Our bodies are the temple. And I'm going to share, this is a little comical really, but I never forget one morning years ago, it's been, I don't know, 7 years ago maybe. So I was doing devotions one morning, and it was on this very scripture, talking about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God says, You don't need to eat ice cream every day either. Okay. I'm serious. It was just like, and I thank God for that kind of direction. Amen. I was eating too much ice cream. We're the temple. Defiling the temple. Too much ice cream. Didn't say you couldn't eat ice cream. You just don't need to eat it every day. Oh, goodness, I mean. Well, the Holy Spirit was meddling with me, so I had so much fun with it, I thought I'd share it with y'all. Ain't God good? Amen. He is so good. So what does this mean to us as believers? We have 24/7 unlimited access to the Father and Jesus. It also means we have power of the living Christ dwelling on the inside of us. If we need comforting, the counselor of all counselors longs to comfort us in ways that are beyond any person or any book or any counselor can ever do. We need wisdom, strength. Guess what? He longs to give it to us when we ask. Like a Christian that doesn't have, living the Christian life doesn't have to be difficult. The point of the Christian life is not about us following all the rules or trying hard to be good. Our life as Christians is about abiding, living in Christ. And the natural byproduct of this is a life that worships God. We don't worship Him through performance. We worship Him by naturally becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's by the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit. Wants to produce inside of us the very best, the heart and personality of Jesus. We just need to give Him our hearts. Give Him full access. I'm not talking about partial. Full access. And I thank God the Holy Spirit so much for just confronting me on those issues in my life. That is a true nature of God, to conform us more to that image. When He just sometimes calls us on the carpet and says, hey, yo, let's talk. And we should be glad when He does. Because He said, if you be without chastening, you're illegitimate. He does. You're none of His. You're illegitimate. You're not His child. So when the Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word, or He just does, like I said, the one-on-one. So just another point here, another question for you to ponder. So are we living a self-directed life or a Spirit-led life? Amen. Self-directed or Spirit-led? That was another brother in his series. That was a point I was like, ow. That's a good point to bring out. Self-directed. Even as a believer, we're still sometimes being hard-headed. Oops, I told on myself again. But it's interesting. You can still be a believer in living a self-directed life. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to be in control. God, the Holy Spirit, once He does come into us, He says for us to stand down. I'm in control now. He is the one that's in control in our lives now. And we yield totally to Him, not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit of the living God. Unfortunately, the old man still wants to rear his head up. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil still wants to have a voice in how we live our lives, but we have to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word. And as I quote from him much, Dr. J. Vernege used to say, the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and showing us Christ. That's one of the things He does. He wants the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and shows us Christ. He is all about kingdom business and bringing about the kingdom come. I was reminded of the passage in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus' parents went to the Passover. And of course they went and did the Passover. And of course they was heading back about a day's journey. And they looked for Jesus in the mix and they didn't find Him. Of course they turn around and go back. They find him in the temple talking to the doctors of the law and all those things like that. And this is the way Darby rendered a verse and said, Mary said, why have you put us through this? Jesus said, why have you sought me? Did you not know I ought to be occupied with my Father's business? Spirit directed. Amen. About the Father's business. Not your business. Yes, we have affairs we have to tend to, but first and foremost, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He adds on all the rest that we need. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, from the Amplified, it reads this way, and I'll start in verse 14 just to give a little more meat to it. For the love of Christ controls us and compels us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. 15. And he died for all, so that those who would live no longer for themselves, self-directed, but for him who died and was raised for their sakes. You know, he is Lord. Amen. But it's interesting, in Western Christianity, we see this self-centered, self-help, prideful, independence, do it my way, and calling it being spirit-led. Not in God's economy. Don't work. It won't work. We still want to say we're in charge. Oh, God understands. It's just me. He knows I'm that way. He'll understand. No. He is Lord. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is conforming us more to the likeness of Christ daily, whether little by little or accelerated growth, leading us, motivating us, propelling us to be more like Christ. The internal affirmation of the Spirit, that's where He leads us toward the things of God. Don't matter where you go through the hard times, the good times, it don't matter to Him. He wants to have an important role in our lives. Ghostbusters can't help you, but the Holy Ghost can. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're about to wrap it up here. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 10. Hurry up, Louie. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. A little lengthy, but I think it'll get the point across. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells where? In you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Spirit-directed lives. That is where the believer needs to be. The importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. He is a priority for us. And of course, this old dog had to learn a new trick. Of course, I knew that, but it's just like sometimes whether we drift or whatever happens in our lives sometimes like that. It's, you know, I was thinking this. What was it, about, 25 years ago? What was it? The Kellogg's Corn Flakes did a reintroducing of that cereal and said, taste them again for the first time. Hear about the Holy Spirit fresh and new. Amen? He is important in the life of the believer. Okay, just quickly from our verses today, from Ephesians chapter 15 through 18, from the Amplified. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor and purpose and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as unwise but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking the advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Does that describe the day we live in today? We're to walk circumspectly. Who will aid us to walk circumspectly today? God, the Holy Spirit. We want to be those lights in the midst of all this chaos that's going on today. Therefore, Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand firmly and grasp what the will of God is. Not to be drunk with wine, for this is wickedness. The Amplified said, corruption and stupidity. Ooh. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him. The New Living Translation rendered it this way. Living in the Spirit's power. So be careful. Ouch. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in the evil days. Don't act thoughtless, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we close, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Come on up, Curtis. As we said, Ephesians 4:13, grieve not the Spirit of God. We want to be more aware of His presence. I think that was one of the songs we sung this morning. We want to be more aware of His presence, reverence in His presence, standing in awe of His presence. To be totally dependent and always relying on His constant presence in us, who is there 24/7. Oh, and anymore, it's just like I've even repented, like, Holy Spirit, where I've quenched and grieved you in my life, I repent. You know, that's a takeaway. You can just, you know, you and God can work that one out. Yes, we repent before the Father and the Son, but the fact of He's part of the Godhead too. So that's something that I have learned to do, is where He's there wanting to help us in our lives, and where they're hindering Him, thwarting His efforts in our lives, I have started to repent, that I may work more in concert with Him, not against Him. We yield every area of our lives to His examination. As the psalmist said in 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. He sees it anyway. But He is there lovingly, wooingly, wanting to help us. Oh, He is that divine helper, my brothers and sisters. Oh, just, I mean, maybe you're not on that spiritual journey, but that's where I am right now. I'm so asking Him more and more to help me to be more like Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'd ask you to stand, please. I pray you got a little food for thought. Maybe it'll whet your appetite to look at the Holy Spirit just a little more closely, carefully. He really wants to help us. I don't care whether it's in your marriage, on your job, in school. There's no area in life that the Holy Spirit can't help us. I'm learning that. In the praise and worship, He wants to help us. In your daily walk, He wants to help us. In your job, He wants to let your light so shine. And so we bless Him this day.